Good afternoon, or morning, or I guess you're listening to a recording of this. I don't know when you're listening. One quick thing to say. I want to start the show off by asking you all a question before I even get to my cool theme music. If you listen to this show, I've been curious for a while. How many folks listen to it the whole show through? If you just listen and enjoy it, or if you just listen to the music and skip through the parts where I'm talking, or just listen to the parts where I'm talking and skip the music. I just would like to know if you feel like responding, and please do. Drop me an email, jake@lyingmediabastards.com, so I can know. Thanks, and let's kick off the show with music.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
On the way, near a truck stop that's behind my evil haze. There is a garden. He is a garden. Are you mad? Yet can't connect it. When you try to, do you know? He is evil. You are mad.
Are you mad? Yet?
No, not comfort. No, not Mia. No, not scary. Ancient feeling. He is a garden. He is a garden. Are you mad? Yet separated. Do you know what they do when they?
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show. I'm Jake. That just there, of course, was The Verve doing Bittersweet Symphony. For that, we had Morrissey doing America Is Not the World. There's two political songs by Morrissey on that album. That's one of his newer ones, You Are the Quarry. Unfortunately, that's not the better one. That is the one that seemed more politically appropriate to play. I think I might play the other political song, English Blood, Irish Heart. I might play that later. Before that, we had Magna Pop doing Garden. We started off with David Sugar doing a sort of electro-clash ska version of The Cure's Just Like Heaven, which was kind of fun. I'm Jake. As I said, the Lying Media Bastards show. If you're listening live, you probably know that because you had to click on the link. to get to the show. If you're listening to the podcast, you probably know because you had to put this into your MP3 player. So the only reason I'm telling you this is the Lying Media Bastard show is because I'm so used to doing things this way in a standard radio format. But thanks for listening. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, please, if give me an email, jake@lyingmediabastards.com, to let me know if you actually do listen to these shows in their entirety, or if you just listen for the music, or if you just listen for the politics, because I would like to know. Lots to talk about. I'm realizing now that probably for the past couple months, I have my notes, that I do for my show, which is really just a list of topics to talk about. That lately I've been edging more towards many topics rather than fewer in-depth topics. So I have about 150 different things here to talk about on my sheet here, which means that after the music part is after you subtract the music from the show, that gives me about 15 seconds to talk about each. So I think I think from here on out, I'm going, wow, that's not the right way to do this. But I'll just kind of list here. I'll let you know the things I might possibly talk about today. The bills that are before Congress right now, which would legalize torture, permanent detention, enemy combatant status, and wiretapping. Thought about talking about torture in general. The several national intelligence estimates, this we have to talk about, discuss, these are reports from the federal government by intelligence agencies saying how the U.S. is doing on the war on terrorism. Maybe mention the John Stewart on The Daily Show. He interviewed Pervez Musharraf and Pat Buchanan on his show recently. Pat Buchanan is, of course, a well-known conservative racist, and Pervez Musharraf is the dictator of Pakistan. You gotta wonder why they're giving those people airtime. I think if I was John Stewart and Pat Buchanan had come on my show, I think I would have started with, "So, Pat Buchanan, you hate the Jews." Not so much as that, that's like the core of Pat Buchanan, but that would just be funnier and still truthful. Probably more accurate would be, "So, Pat Buchanan, you hate brown people." Instead, John Stewart just sort of went with, he said something like, aren't you walking a fine line in your new book about the America being conquered by immigrants? Aren't you walking a fine line between discussing policy and hating people, all people who like a certain type of food?" I think he said something like that. Which, is implying, hey, Pat, you're walking a fine line between being wanting immigration reform and hating foreigners. I'd say he's not walking that line. He's leapt to one side and is building condos there. Well, I'm already halfway to discuss this topic. I may as well finish. The other part, Pervez Musharraf, the leader of Pakistan, he has been in town. He's promoting a book. How crazy is that? You're a dictator and you got nothing better to do but, go on your book tour? I guess if you're a dictator, perhaps you have a limited lifespan. Perhaps he knows the coup is coming and he's going to wake up at the bottom of a ditch somewhere. Well, not wake up. He'll find himself dead. And one of his arms will be in a ditch somewhere, and his head will be on a pike. And maybe he needs the extra cash now to live it up before he's assassinated. But it was a funny segment at the beginning. John Stewart actually brings out a tea set, pours some tea for Musharraf, gives him a Twinkie. And then as they're both beginning to sip their tea, he slyly says, "So, where's Osama bin Laden?" Which I thought was sort of a funny, butter him up before asking him the hard question sort of thing. It was a joke on that, because he said he didn't know, surprisingly. But still, and I heard that at the end, I didn't watch the whole thing, I just saw the first couple minutes. I've been told that Stewart told Musharraf that he's doing a great job. He's a dictator. You don't say they're doing a good job. So, bad form, Stewart. Bad form. going to talk a little bit about the FCC. They're actually having their public hearings next week in Los Angeles. Bring that up later. Authoritarians versus conservatives. Josh Wolf, a little update. The Hotel Worker Rising event that's going on today. I should actually up online, see how that's going. If they've start, I don't think they start till 4 or so. They're having a rally in an effort to raise awareness and build pressure for improved working conditions for immigrant hotel workers in Los Angeles. I'll have to talk about this protest. I was not at this protest, but a National City here in San Diego protest earlier in the week where bad things went down. Maybe talk a little bit about Bill Clinton versus the Fox Network. And then Banned Books Week. This is Banned Books Week. As some of you know, I work at a library, and I've discovered that Banned Books Week is very much like Halloween for professional librarians. They get a chance to be a little rebellious, point out how they're the harbingers of truth. They let people read whatever they want versus the forces of censorship. I'm being a little sarcastic, but there is something to that. A lot of libraries do make quite the effort to stand up to some public pressure and have a wide variety of reading materials, even if some people do complain and find it offensive. And good on them for that. I looked at if you want information about books that have been banned or that have been challenged, that people have tried to take off of library shelves, you can go to the American Library Association website, ALA.org, and right now it's ALA.org/bbooks is their page about banned books. The funniest that I saw, the funniest book that has been banned, the Captain Underpants series, which are a series of children's books about a young kid in underpants who's a superhero. I haven't read them, but I'm told there's a lot of scatological humor, as they say, body functions and poop, I imagine. Boogers, perhaps. And parents find that gross, and they don't want their children reading it. And if you don't want your child reading something, obviously the answer is to make sure no one can read it. I don't quite see the logic there, but that's how some parents are thinking. And then you've also got the other funny choice was Where's Waldo? Where's Waldo? Some parents, of course, the angry parents claim that there are two pictures in one Where's Waldo book. One, there's a beach scene with a woman that they claim is topless in this beach scene. And granted, in the Where's Waldo books, if you're not familiar with them, each book is a very large-sized book with each page, I guess, is a two-page spread, a two-page drawing of some sort of scene with many people in it. And you were supposed to find Waldo, the little man in the white and red striped outfit, somewhere amongst all of these, in this busy scene among all these people. So there's a beach scene where they claim that there's a topless woman, and it would be hard to tell because the drawings are so tiny. It's a little bit hard to figure out who's a man, who's a woman, who's wearing what. They also claim that on another page there's a picture of a topless mermaid. This one I did find. I did find it. I didn't find Waldo. I found the boobies. Honestly, it's a picture of this woman. She's sort of like, you're mostly seeing her back, the mermaid, facing away. And there's a curved line for the shape of her breast, but you can't really see, if she's actually wearing a bathing suit or the little shell string number that we see amongst some mermaids, the more risque mermaids, I suppose, or if she is naked completely. You can't tell, so these people think the book should be banned because there's a dirty, dirty, filthy, curved line. Now, a number of the books, too, I've seen on this list are ones that are aimed at teens that do involve sex in some manner. And the parents are angry about that because children and teens shouldn't know anything about sex. They should go into their life just as ignorant as their conservative religious parents, who grew up and got married not knowing anything about sex. Because things are better. Everything works better when people are ignorant and don't know what's going on. Well, I can understand some of the anxiety. And some of the books were even like, there were two that were very good. They're sort of that were sort of owner's manuals, if you will, about the male body and the female body. You know, book aimed at guys about, you know, the male body, growing up, being healthy, you know, interacting with people, interacting with women, hygiene, and of course, there's a lot about sex in it, and about the sexual parts of the male body, as well as a similar book for girls. And of course, the parents don't like that because it has to do with sex, and again, they shouldn't be having sex. They're very uncomfortable with the idea of teen sex, even though they possibly were seeking it when they were teens. And, you know, being a non-teen myself at this point, I understand some of the ambivalence that goes on there. You know, when I was a teen, of course, I wanted to have sex all the time. But now when I think about teenage sex, it's kind of icky because, you know, ew, I'm 30. The idea of 15-year-olds having sex is kind of creepy. But still, it doesn't mean that I should be telling them what to do. This one man came in, a very funny story actually. The guy comes into the library and he's asking me about the banned books thing because we had a display up celebrating. Again, like I said, librarians treat this like it's Halloween. We had a display about banned books and he was asking me about it and I explained a little bit and he said, very older, much older fellow, maybe in his 70s. So I was at a Barnes & Noble the other day, and I don't know why, but I picked up a book from the teen shelf, and it was some of the worst stuff I've ever read. It was terrible, and I can't believe that they're giving this to the teenagers. And, of course, my mind's thinking, you just happened to pick up a teen book with sex in it, huh? That's very interesting, old man. But he says that about, you know, I can't believe this terrible stuff for teenagers. I'm all, dude, when I was a teenager, that's all I wanted to read. That was exactly what I wanted to read. I wanted to read dirty, filthy, sexy stuff. So, well, me too, but... So we're all acknowledging here, this is what teenagers, at least some teenagers, want. Yet saying they shouldn't have it. I'm all, you know, that's all stuff I wanted to read when I was a teenager, but, you know, I can't speak for you, but I know I can't grew up to be an okay person. How about you? He's all, well, no, but I didn't go to prison for anything. So, crazy old man. Another funny story. Well, I got two more funny stories. I'm telling you library stories like nobody's business tonight. So I'm at, this woman comes up and she's talking to me about, Uncle Remus. She had a book on reserve, Uncle Remus Stories, and she told me that she used to have a copy of this book, but you know, she didn't have it anymore because you know, it was not proper. You know, she actually said, you know, because of the American Negro. What? Sorry, you folks can't see my body language on that one. I forgot I'm on radio. My head exploded slightly. I didn't know what to say. Check the clock on the wall to see if I was wrong and maybe it had become 1920 again. It hadn't. She was just weird. But along with the censorship idea, back to the banned books, I spoke to a children's librarian, about the Harry Potter stuff, because, you know, you hear now and again, there are religious parents who were upset about the Harry Potter stories because they have magic and therefore are endorsing worship of the devil. Which is funny because in the Harry Potter books they actually have, they celebrate Christmas, which I'm trying to figure out exactly how that fits in. You know, maybe Jesus had a magic wand? I'm not quite sure how this works exactly. I am very curious about it, but... So I asked her, you know, parents actually do complain about the Harry Potter books. She said, oh, yeah, all the time. And she did tell me that she had to back down once because many of the books have stickers on the spine of the book that sort of tell you what theme it is. You know, is this a book about counting? Is this your ABCs? Is this about science or animals or Christmas? And they had a sticker for Halloween books. And apparently... parents complained because the Halloween sticker was orange with a little black witch on the spine. And again, witchcraft, devil, corrupting the youth. They actually had to get new Halloween stickers that were orange with a black cat instead of the witch on them. So, yeah. So I've talked a lot. I didn't mean to, but I did. So let's play some music. This here's going to be Mos Def. Mos Def, if I'm not mistaken, was arrested a few weeks back at the MTV Music Video Awards. He had rented a flatbed truck and parked it out in front of the awards building and was performing songs about Hurricane Katrina. And for performing without a permit there, they arrested him. Actually, I'm going to play the song and then I'm going to look up the news story, see if I can't find it. Anyhow, I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastards Radio Show. If you're listening live and you want to request a song or say hello or something like that, just drop an instant message to Radioactive SD on your whatchamacallit, on your instant messenger thing. And if not, if you want to make a request for a future show, email me, jake@lyingmediabastards.com. This here's going to be Mos Def doing Close to the Edge. A very nice version of this that was done live on the Dave Chappelle Show inside of a car as they drove along. I'd recommend checking that out if you get a chance. Anyhow, thanks for listening.
Pull up to your spot on low, shine brighter than all of they cats that got on glow. Laying the cut like they not going no, cause if I gotta make a move, dog, they not going no. This storm all private, this is not faux show. It's Mos Def, what you call real faux show. Is they what you call gangster? Hell no. They get a little pinch and go snitch to the pole. They all talk fast and they all think slow. I'm Mos Definite, not think so. Flood your city with the black ink flow, and my crew ain't scared to let them things go. So stop with the nonsense, like he conscious. I'm just a wake dog, I'm doing great dog. I don't play games, so I don't play, I hate y'all. Get it straight and get the fuck up out my face, dog. I'm like the second plane that made the towers face off. That shit to let you know it's really not a game, dog. Your grind and my grind ain't the same, dog. I'm the catalog, you the same song. So cool and old school like A4. The one your little mommy winding up a waist for. The name that real niggas got their hand raised for. Me and Minnie got your block yellow taped off. So skate off. To the streets, to the beach, the bitches, the niggas, the women, the cheering, the workers, the killers, the addicts, the dealers, the quiet, the livers, the realists, and that's close. To the edge, back, middle, and front. Strong back, shit, lifting it up. From the big and the small, I'm like Jay Brown, getting involved and involved. But when I'm letting off around, don't get in the cross. Like a preacher man speaking low, getting his cross. Tell a wild cowboy not to get off their horse before they find out the town on strictly enforced. It's a real bad way to get your name in the sauce. Testing the limits of a dangerous force. You ended up dumb, famous, and gone. Your people shouting out your name in their song. Pouring liquor on the day you were born. Buying paint to put your face on the wall. Come on, fall back. There's no need for all that. It's all good. We all here, doing all out, all live, all day. Listen when the song say, don't push me. To the streets, to the beach, the bitches, the niggas, the women, the children, the workers, the killers, the addicts, the dealers, the quiet, the livers, the realists, and that's close. Push me. To the edge, back, middle, and front. Strong back, shit, lifting it up. From the big and the small, I'm like Jay Brown, getting involved, now get y'all.
Bang, de, bang, de, bang, de, get. Bang the bang the bang the get bang the bang the bang the get bang the bang the bang the
get close
bang the bang the bang the get bang the bang the bang the get bang the bang the bang the get bang the bang the bang the get
close
bang the bang the bang the get bang the bang the bang the get bang the bang the bang the get bang the bang the bang the get
close
bang the bang the bang the get bang the bang the gib, bang the 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 bang the bang the gib.
Good, good. anxious, I'm here. Step away from the window and go back to sleep. Safe from pain and truth and choice. Ever poison devils. See, they don't give a fuck about you like I do.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, listen to the Lying Media Bastards radio show. That just there was, that was sort of a mini block of stuff with really long names. That band there was Fear Before the March of Flames with their hit song, Taking Cassandra to the End of the World Party. Not long or unwieldy in any way. Before that, we had, what do we have? And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead, doing it, and It Was There That I Saw You. Maybe it's just It Was There That I Saw You. Yes, that is it. For that, A Perfect Circle, doing Counting Bodies Like Sheep to the Rhythm of the War Drums. And we started that off with Most Deaf, doing... I take that back. We started that off with... we did start that off with Most Deaf. Most Deaf, Close Edge, as I type that up. But yeah, I did the research on the Most Deaf show. A spokeswoman for rapper Most Deaf said police overreacted when they ticketed him for an impromptu performance outside the MTV Video Music Awards this week. Police officers patrolling the event issued the performer a summons for operating a sound system without a permit after he arrived at Radio City Music Hall in a pickup truck and hastily set up portable stage. He was a few verses into his 2005 song, Katrina Clap, which criticizes President Bush's handling of the hurricane, when officers made him stop. As soon as he was made aware of the police presence, he shut everything down. His staff and team were willing to comply as well, but the police overreacted. Well, I guess I'm a little sad to hear that he went to shut down as soon as the cops came, but still, it was a nice gesture. We appreciate the work, Most Deaf. I'm going to talk about a local protest here. I hadn't heard about this. It's up on the San Diego Indie Media website. National City is a city in San Diego County, close to the border. And they announced that they're going to be a sanctuary city, which, as I understand it, means that they are going to refuse to spend any city money on enforcing immigration laws. You know, it's the idea that immigrants are people, and we should make them feel safe and wanted in the city. So, as one might imagine, the Minutemen and their ilk, the anti-immigration, frequently racist crowd, they were there. They had a stage of protest on Saturday against this decision to become a sanctuary city. There was a counter-protest, a lot of folks who thought it was a good idea. So let's... So we have a report on the Indie Media site that says, hold on, let me turn that down, because there's talking in that music. National City was the scene of a near riot on Saturday when police blockaded protesters in with a crowd of 200 white supremacist Minutemen, and the Minutemen took the opportunity to pepper spray nonviolent demonstrators, knock them to the floor, and kick them. The Minutemen had staged a large protest, blah, blah, blah. Unsurprisingly, the local corporate media has gone out of their way to take an explicitly racist stance on the situation, supporting the Minutemen's claim that they sprayed water at the protesters. I don't know if that's exactly racist there, but, yeah, apparently the Minutemen were saying, oh, no, we didn't spray them with pepper spray. We sprayed them with water. And, let's see. Channel 8 showed a video of a Minuteman laying on top of demonstrators who were lying on the ground in agonizing pain, getting their eyes rinsed out, and claiming sarcastically that he was hurt too and they were faking. Channel 8 said the Minutemen claimed that the demonstrators were faking it. Channel 10 went out of their way on Sunday morning to show a report saying that clearly the protesters were faking it because they were wearing sunglasses, showing a clip of one demonstrator before getting sprayed wearing sunglasses instead of showing him on the ground with red tearing eyes for half an hour. Yeah, because if you wear sunglasses, pepper spray can't get in there. It's like they're like sunglasses are like magic, and they keep out pepper spray. So let's see. As the story continues, while all of this took place, the police only jabbed the demonstrators with their batons and pushed them directly into the crowd of violent white supremacists. After being pepper sprayed, one female protester crossed police lines to sit down and rinse her eyes out. Another demonstrator tried to get her water, but the police refused, so he threw it to her. While she tried to rinse, the police picked her up and threw her back into the same crowd of violent racists who had just assaulted her by pepper spraying her in the eyes. After the numerous pepper spraying incidents, pushing and kicking, the demonstrators backed off and joined the large energetic crowd of counter-protesters in support of the sanctuary city proposal on the other side of the street. So, Yes, lovely. So, if you're a Minuteman, and you're, I mean, there's probably some proportion of Minutemen who honestly are concerned about jobs and terrorism and whatnot. But overall, I mean, when you read these guys' rhetoric, it seems overwhelmingly to be coded as "gotta keep the Mexicans out because we don't like the Mexicans." That's the sort of the I think it's the Minutemen slogan actually. We don't like the Mexicans. But so they've got this protest, and a lot of these folks that were out there that were getting pepper sprayed were the local rebel clown army, the protesters who dress up like clowns and do a little street theater. Their thing lately has been, you know, as acting as though they want to join the Minutemen. You know, we're clowns, we want to join the other clowns, which you know, has a good punchline to it. But apparently the Minutemen had their own punchline, which is "Here's pepper spray in your eye," which much less funny, if you ask me. No, but that's just a terrible story. The people are getting pepper sprayed. The cops are keeping them in there with the people who have done the pepper spraying. And then when they try to rinse their eyes out, they throw them back in again. And then they were only doing the batoning and kicking on the protesters, not on the Minutemen. Just a bad scene. But yeah, and I believe there's another protest also in National City this coming Saturday. I got an email about it. I'll have to announce it once I find it. But I believe National City at noon... this coming weekend. And for those of you who are saying, well, I'd like to protest, but I don't want to get pepper sprayed, it's my understanding that there were sort of two protests, one on one side of the street that was in favor of the sanctuary city, one on the other side that was the Minutemen, and the pepper spraying occurred when the clown army people went to the other side. So if you were not on the side of the street that had the Minutemen, I don't think you will get pepper sprayed. So feel free to come and not be afraid. What else I got to talk about today? Let's see what I got queued up. Several things. One, there was some congressional testimony earlier this week, which had several generals from the U.S. military talking about how utterly incompetent Donald Rumsfeld was and denouncing him and saying that he had to go, which was rather astounding. You know, there's usually the military's been hasn't been quite so vocal saying that their boss is ridiculous. Let's see. Let's find some of the fun bits in here. Donald Rumsfeld is not a competent wartime leader. He knows everything except how to win. He surrounds himself with like-minded and compliant subordinates who do not grasp the importance of the principles of war, the complexities of Iraq, or the human dimension of warfare. Secretary Rumsfeld ignored 12 years of U.S. Central Command deliberate planning and strategy, dismissed honest dissent, and browbeat subordinates to build his plan, which did not address the hard work to crush the insurgency, secure a post-Saddam Iraq, build the peace, and set Iraq up for self-reliance. And that's one of the calmer passages. So this is from John R.S. Batiste, a retired major general from the Army. This was on the 25th he said all that. We also had another retired major general, Paul D. Eaton. Let's see. He was less... he didn't strike out at Rumsfeld so much, but he gave a long story about... His job was to set up the Iraqi police force, and he's talking about how at every turn he was foiled by his superiors. They wouldn't give him the money, they wouldn't give him the support, nothing like that. And again, he's talking about how this is Rumsfeld's fault. Then we had another fellow who was, I don't think he was retired yet, he was, no, retired colonel, Thomas X. Hams, and I just thought that was pretty damning. And it made me think, you know, I was thinking, gosh, you know, what's the Bush press conference going to look like after this? And I don't think there was one. But I could just imagine myself at the press conference and getting in a question and saying, President Bush, you've always said that, you know, that you're going to listen, that you take your lead from the generals on the ground in Iraq. And after this testimony from General Batiste and Hams and the other guy whose name I forgot, so you're going to take their lead. When are you going to fire Donald Rumsfeld? It should be a fun question. Watch him squirm and, you know, he'd say something about blah, 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 but, you know, nothing convincing. So on top of that, so that was earlier in the week. That was the 25th. What's that? That was Monday, I think. And then right around that same time, there was a leak of the National Intelligence Estimate, which was 16 American intelligence agencies trying to figure out where things stood with the global war on terrorism. And actually, apparently there were two NIE reports. One was an NIE report that they didn't call an NIE report, because if it was an official NIE, National Intelligence Estimate report, Congress gets to see that. But since they didn't call it one, they didn't have to give it to anybody. The Bush administration was able to get a copy and try to suppress it. That one has been, we have not seen that one. This other one, NIE-2, we'll call it, was leaked to the I believe the media, and so, well, parts of it leaked to the media and to members of Congress, who then demanded that the entire thing be declassified. The parts that were being leaked gave the main conclusion of those was that the Iraq war had increased the danger to the United States of terrorist attack, because the Iraq war was angering people and making them want to attack the United States. The Bush team said, "Oh no, that's not true. That's misleading." And instead of declassifying the entire report, they agreed to declassify key judgments. Well, if you're going to release parts of a report and you have a say in that, I was honestly expecting the most damning thing in there to be George W. Bush's hair smells nice. But they got some of the key stuff in there, and then they tried to twist it, of course. Bush administration says that this proves we have to stay in Iraq. Let's see some of the main judgments. Although we cannot measure... Let's see the... The Iraq conflict has become the cause célèbre for jihadists, breeding a deep resentment of U.S. involvement in the Muslim world and cultivating supporters for the global jihadist movement. Should jihadists leaving Iraq perceive themselves and be perceived to have failed, we judge fewer fighters will be inspired to carry on the fight. Four underlying factors fueling the spread of the jihadist movement. One, entrenched grievances such as corruption, injustice, and fear of Western domination, leading to anger, humiliation, and a sense of powerlessness. Two, the Iraq jihad. Three, the slow pace of real and sustained economic, social, and political reforms in many Muslim nations. And four, pervasive anti-U.S. sentiment among most Muslims, all of which jihadists exploit. So, the Bush administration has been trying to spin this in their own way, saying, well, it says there that if the jihadists think that they have won in Iraq, they'll be more likely to attack, which means we have to stay in Iraq. Questionable. And that they also are tending to ignore that part that says that the U.S. presence in Iraq is creating more terrorists. So you got sort of what a rational person would do, taking all of that at face value, would say, well, gosh, we have to weigh the pros and cons. You know, obviously, it's not good for, the U.S. defending itself against terrorism. It's not good if either A, they stay in Iraq and create more terrorists, or B, if they leave Iraq and make the jihadists think that they have won. And since you can't do both, you can't stay and leave at the same time, you'd have to say, well, gosh, which one is better for the country? Which one is, accomplishes more? But, no, we get a president who says, only sees what he wants to see, only hears what he wants to hear. And this report, I think, I know I have been opposed to the U.S. war in Iraq since before it started. I was a good year and a half before the invasion I saw it coming and was yelling about it. Probably many of you listening to this felt the same way. But, and this report, in a way, justifies everything we were saying. But, or one of the main comments I was saying, this ain't going to defeat terrorism. But we shouldn't get an I told you so sort of attitude, because what we were saying wasn't because we were particularly smart or noble or anything like that. It was obvious. You know, you can't say I told you so if, you know, you throw something up in the air and it comes back down to earth. That doesn't show your wisdom. That just shows that you know the basics of real-world physics. But yeah, and then let's see. The last two paragraphs of this, I'm told, are actually fairly scary, and they kind of are. Let's see. This is the key judgments of the National Intelligence Estimate. Last two paragraphs say, anti-U.S. and anti-globalization sentiment is on the rise and fueling other radical ideologies. This could prompt some leftist, nationalist, or separatist groups to adopt terrorist methods to attack U.S. interests. The radicalization process is occurring more quickly, more widely, and more anonymously in the Internet age, raising the likelihood of surprise attacks by unknown groups whose members and supporters may be difficult to pinpoint. We judge that groups of all stripes will increasingly use the Internet to communicate, propagandize, recruit, train, and obtain logistical and financial support. So, that's sort of, indicted in that are people who are against the United States, which I know a lot of the stuff that we do I'm against. Against globalization, that's me. Leftist, nationalist, or separatist groups? Well, leftist. So the National Intelligence Estimate that's supposed to be about terrorism includes a number of us folks who are who are talking into the microphone or who are listening to me talking to the microphone as we speak, which is fun. But yeah, what I've been thinking about, you know, apart from this war, I came to a realization the other day. Many times I've said that calling this campaign the war on terror is wrong. I've been saying it's not a war on terror, it's a war on specific terrorist groups or terrorist movements against the United States. When you call it the war on terror, terror is an emotion, it is not a political movement. So that's a very imprecise term to use, which sort of plays into the hands of the Bush administration and the pro-war folks. But I think that I might be wrong on that. War on Terror might be the correct name, actually. Because it's obviously not a war on terrorism when you're attacking Iraq, or countries that have nothing to do with terrorism, or having these crackdowns on hair gel on airplanes. I think what's really driving all this is fear on the part of Americans. We have not had this sort of... I take that back. There was probably a couple decades in there. Well, not even that. At some point, Americans were terrified of the communists. The Russians are going to come get us. There was a time after that where people were not afraid, did not have a global enemy to be afraid of. But now they've got the terrorists. And again, the fear is back. But I don't know that Americans ever had that sort of... Well, there was sort of that generalized, oh my God, the Russians are going to nuke us fear. There wasn't so much of this, oh my God, the Russians are going to shoot me in the face tomorrow, or they're going to kidnap my kid, or poison my water, or blow up my airplane. But other countries have had to face this sort of stuff. You know, either outright terrorist attacks, or they're living in a society with an oppressive government, and there are rebel groups that are... You know, freedom fighters, so to speak, who are engaged in violence, and you know, if you were living in Turkey with the PKK or Israel with Hamas and the PLO back when the PLO was more aggressive, you had you had England with the IRA terrorist attacks. I don't know so much about Sri Lanka, but the Tamil Tigers. I mean, there's countries where people live in societies that they have this very real fear right there. And Americans never had that, and that's what I really think. I'm starting to think that's what all this is that as long as Americans are afraid, we're going to keep getting this shit. We're going to keep getting the people who realize that scared people tend to look for a protector. We gathered around George W. He's an idiot. He'll protect us. And so much of this really seems to be. It's not even about fighting terrorism. It's not about convicting terrorists or finding Osama bin Laden or making Americans safer. It's about making Americans less afraid. In that case, it is a war on terror. But it's a war to make scared people feel better. And you have to wonder how much of the legal civil liberties we've got. How many of those do you give away because you want to feel safe? How many people should you bomb because you don't like sweating and feeling nervous? Now, how many people have to suffer so that Americans, you know, real physical suffering, bombs and lost limbs and lost relatives and blown up homes? How much of that has to go on so that, you know, your average soccer mom or your average deli worker or anybody, and living in the United States, how many of those other folks have to die and suffer so that we Americans can feel safe? Now, I heard a very concrete example of this a week or two ago. There's a journalist named Robert Dreyfus, wrote an article for Rolling Stone in which he essentially argued that, many things. He argued essentially that Al-Qaeda had mostly been destroyed and that the Bush administration was continually hyping. He said, you know, said there certainly is a terrorist threat, but that it was completely being hyped by the Bush administration for their own political purposes, and that really to defeat terrorism, you know, you have to use police and spies, not guns and bombs. And for this information, he interviewed apparently about 12 members of former members, you know, recently retired, people who recently quit in disgust, members of the counterterrorism units in the U.S. government. So it's not like he was, you know, talking out of his ass. He had what are allegedly a whole bunch of experts who know what they're talking about telling him this. So the article was pretty decent, and I'm listening to a radio interview with the fella. He was on the Ian Masters show, live from the Left Coast. You really need to listen to the Ian Masters show, ianmasters.org. I don't plug it enough. If you ever think that I sound smart, like I know what I'm talking about on this show, part of that is because of his show. I listen to it. He interviews a lot of smart folks. Anyhow, so he's interviewing this guy about his Rolling Stone article, and someone calls in, because it is a call-in show, and they're furious. They're like, how dare you say that there's no terrorist threat out there? How dare you say that? You know, how about you die? How about the terrorists attack your family? You know, you go first. And it was that same sort of thing. It was this idea of, the facts, you know, I don't care what the facts are, I'm scared, let's keep doing what we're doing. You know, and I ran across that on my website once. I was writing it some years back. There was a media scare, all sorts of media stories about child kidnappings. As many of you have noticed, almost every summer, there's some sort of scare in the media. One summer it was shark attacks. And, you know, you went and you did the research, and sharks actually, there was no increase in shark attacks over any other year. They were just more media attention to it. So for this other story that was this child abduction story, you know, I did the research, and it was so unlikely. You know, statistically, most children, when they're kidnapped, are kidnapped by one of their parents. You know, one parent kidnaps them from the other parent. The chances of you know, your kid getting kidnapped, you know, from the park by some stranger with a van, very small. Very, very small. And I wrote about this. People were saying, oh, well, you don't know. You don't have a kid. And honestly, I had a number of people posting to my site who all were agreeing that despite the fact that I had facts and I was right, that I was actually wrong because I didn't have kids and I didn't know what it was like. Which was infuriating. It's like, well, you know, I could not argue. I could not convince these people. I could not win this argument because I didn't have kids. Despite the fact knowing that this was so unlikely. And I see the terrorism thing a lot like that. This fella is saying, look, you know, the Al-Qaeda, here's what the facts are. Al-Qaeda was mostly destroyed when Afghanistan was invaded. There was estimated to be about 5,000 members of Al-Qaeda at the time, and now the intelligence people are saying maybe there's 500, and that Osama bin Laden really can't do a hell of a lot because he's in a cave somewhere. And this is what the data was saying, and people were like, no, fuck you, I'm scared. You know, we still need to do, you know, we still need to go to war and do everything that Bush says, because, you know, because you don't know. Which, fear trumps research every time, I gotta sadly say. But, and then part of this, too, I think, is the fear led to the crowding around Bush, which is authoritarianism. Strange they're still calling it, there's a lot of people who consider themselves conservatives. And the whole conservative political philosophy is basically about some sort of return to traditional morality, which sometimes they agree with legislation about that. And in most other respects, they want a lack of government regulation. They think that business competition will lead to increased, you know, worker safety and food safety, and the environment will thrive, and the economy will be good, and competition is what saves us all, and we don't want the government getting in our business. Well, the people who consider themselves conservatives are now cheering for these ridiculous power grabs by the Bush administration. I'm making hand gestures right now. You can't see them. I'm gesturing emphatically. This is important. For example, right now in the Congress, there's the bills going forward, one that would allow Bush to essentially declare any foreigner, any immigrant, any resident alien, or any citizen of the United States to be an enemy combatant, who then are not allowed a day in court unless someone, you know, wants to step forward and change their mind. They have no right to a lawyer, to habeas corpus, even to a trial. The president can declare you, this stuff goes through, the president can declare you, listening to this show, enemy combatant, and put you in jail for the rest of your life with no trial, no evidence, no nothing. Of course, they could do that before, but it's a little bit different when suddenly that becomes the law. That's there's no risk of anyone getting in trouble for doing it now. Now, they're also working on a bill that would allow, I believe I don't remember the phrase they're using, something like progressive interrogation techniques. Progressive meaning hypothermia. They do some extremes of heat and cold. Sleep deprivation and waterboarding. Waterboarding, I just recently learned what waterboarding is. Apparently they strap a guy to a board, put cellophane over his face, and then pour water over his face. So you're not actually drowning because the water isn't getting into your mouth and nose, but God, can you imagine? That would feel, and they say it simulates drowning. Imagine that. How awful would that be? It would really seem like you were drowning. Like somebody's pouring water down your face so you couldn't breathe. And those are just the ones we know about. You know, we've also heard about, in Guantanamo at least, we heard about the sicking dogs on people, stripping them naked, what was the worst one? One guy I heard about, there was a man in Guantanamo they wanted to interrogate, so they took his son, and in very cold weather they were smearing him with cold mud, so the kid was freezing. They're freezing this kid to death in front of his father to make his father talk, and even a couple allegations of rape. I believe now the new law would also make it so that rape wasn't technically a form of torture, which is bad news. And all of this is sort of, it would leave it up to the Bush administration, or I guess any administration that comes into power. Let them decide what's progressive interrogation and what's torture. So, and then, on the bright side, it's sounding like the wiretapping law won't go through. So it's sounding like, at least for this session of Congress, we'll be able to be imprisoned forever and tortured, but God damn it, the government can't listen to our phone calls. So, without a warrant. That they can get 3 days after the fact. Okay, now I'm making myself angry. So that sort of stuff is going on. Now, if you're a conservative, you say you want small government, And you're letting that kind of shit go through? The government can detain me forever without a trial? That's small government to you? And of course, that's not the case. It is that many people now who call themselves conservatives are actually authoritarians, which means people who either want to hold power, they want to consolidate power and hold it themselves, or they want to follow someone who does, which seems to be entirely what this is. People who want power for themselves or who want a leader with power that they can follow. So, I'm tired. I've talked for 10.5 hours. So that's the state of things at the moment. I'm Jake. This is the Lying Media Bastard Show, but you knew that. Let's put on a little music here. Let's make it music that's not about torture and stuff. This is going to be Lady Sovereign doing Fiddle with a Volume as remixed by some guy. Ugh, I'm tired.
I need moaning bitch.
Thank you.
circuit, leading a small mobile rebel unit, the Valiant.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hard rhyme and the rebel is on the mic. One time rhyme animals on the mic. They're still keeping you from sleeping. We in the hood where heat is still beating. And we back with the rap that packs the room. Black tracks with the rhythm that make you move. Can't hush the bum rush. We bust the sound with D-Sonic bombs. We push all around. Raise the level, I'm up again rhyming. Riding on the devil since I begin rhyming. Hell, we bring back the meat that rap lacks. Cause like I said, we got soul down the river. And I ain't for these racist wars. I'm not fed by these TV whores. I know it's more than news, fake the truth. We break through, won't lose, we move. Republican hard rhyming, the rebel is on the mic. One time rhyming, animals on the mic.
It's on you, brother, what you wanna do? Brother, tell me if it's on, it's on.
Hard rhyming, the rebel is on the mic. One time rhyming, animals on the mic.
It's on you, brother, what you wanna do? Brother, tell me if it's on, it's on.
Was a gift to lift it up, lift it up. Rap to the companies, ripped it up. Now the soul is sap, we've been had like jazz. If you're down for change, then they take your voice away. And then they tell you the best is right. Co-signed by a nigga that pimped the mic. Make the rule the view that the beef is cool. But what it do is fool a few fools who buy the feud. Keep the people all blind and dumb dancing. Never let a record that wrecks become rampant. See the street copycat, the crap rapping songs. I'm knowing there's a poison going on. Feel a message revealed in our show. But you never get to hear it on the radio. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Fuck Jack, bust that, squeeze and run this shit. Come on, rhyming, the rapper's on the mic. One time rhyming, animals on the mic.
It's on you, brother, what you wanna do? Brother, tell me if it's on, it's on.
Hard rhyming, the rapper's on the mic. One time rhyming, animals on the mic.
It's on you, brother, what you wanna do? Brother, tell me if it's on, it's on.
Come on now, DJ Lord. Keep them demons out. Y'all know what I'm talking about. See them use, abuse, confuse us into thinking that being ghetto mean the same as being ignorant. It's always strive to rise and get by. No peace for the peace. We police and shine the light. Contraband is on the television, pimping nose. All cribs in the home that they never own. Damn, tell me that what's the deal? What's the radio in the video? Don't blip. Take a stand, be demanding all my freedom and my civil rights. Worldwide, fight the plan and the genocide. Yes, the road is long and hard. And when I'm gone, y'all say I did my part. Keep gunning, we the crew will never lose. All the ones in the motherfucking tunes. Public in the heart. Hard rhyming, the rapper is on the mic. One time rhyming, animals on the mic.
It's on you, brother, what you wanna do? Brother, tell me if it's on, it's on.
Hard rhyming, the rapper is on the mic. One time rhyming, animals on the mic.
It's on you, brother, what you wanna do? Brother, tell me if it's on, it's on.
Hard rhyming, the rapper is on the mic. One time rhyming, animals on the mic.
It's on you, brother, what you wanna do? Brother, tell me if it's on, it's on.
Hard rhyming, the rapper is on the mic. One time rhyming, animals on the mic.
It's on you, brother, what you wanna do? Brother, tell me if it's on, it's on.
Yeah, that's right, Flavor Flav taking it back to the next millennium. You know what I'm saying? Always cold, cold killing them. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't playing, it's all in the message that we're laying. I got a secret weapon, you know what I'm saying? Let's take two steps to the rear. We getting out of here, you know what I'm saying? Killing them till next millennium. Flavor Flav.
I was hoping on something that never could be. Hoping that he'd give a damn about me. And willing to do anything to believe. Hoping on something that never could be. I was running with blinders and carrying knives. Endangered my body and both of our lives. Acting like I had no need to survive. Running with blinders and carrying knives. sinner's port. Freedom's for rich people, fighting's for poor. Dying to settle some billionaire's score. Soldiers are terrified, governors poor. Running around with a glint in our eyes. Takes you by surprise, force you to witness an angry wave rise. So much to see when you've just cracked your eyes. But once they're open, you can't put them back. No, no, you'll never make up for all that you lack. Down the armor and follow the path. Cause once it's open, you can't put it back. When will we see? It ain't love if it ain't.
in the wake of our existence, in our parades and in our dances. Touch, see and behold the wisdom of the party movement. Central in our lifetime and irresistible in our touch. With great spirits proclaiming that capitalism is indeed organized crime and we're all the victims. This next one is called Refuse Party Program.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jake, Lying Media Bastards radio show on Radioactive San Diego. That just there, of course, was Refused, doing the Refused Party Program. Before that, I don't know why I'm so loud. Is that better? Maybe. Before that, we had Rasputina covering Pat Benatar with Fire and Ice. If you were alive in 1982 or so, perhaps you remember that song. For that, Jess Klein, didn't know her until this morning, a singer-songwriter out of the Northeast United States. Apparently, she started writing some songs with some anti-war themes. Some liberal bloggers encouraged her and her management to put some of these songs onto her MySpace page, and that's what you heard it from, live from MySpace. For that, Public Enemy doing Hard Rhyming, a little help from Paris in there. For that, little twofer from Requiem, Storm Heaven, and Secession. There are several songs that, on that album that just naturally flow into each other. There'll be a slow instrumental one that builds with guitar and violin and drums, and then right after it flips into the next song, it continues and then gets all hardcore. And then we started that off with Lady Sovereign doing Fiddle with the Volume. Did want to mention a couple things with Iraq. Poll came out this week saying that 65% of Iraqis want the United States to leave immediately. One interesting bit of that is that, apart from like, gosh, if they don't want us here, maybe that means we should leave. The Sunni Iraqis have been, previous to this poll, there was like 81% wanted the U.S. to leave immediately. Now that number is down to 57%, but that's probably because the Shia are killing them. There is, at the very least in Baghdad, there is a ethnic cleansing campaign going on where the Shia are capturing, kidnapping, torturing, and murdering Sunni Iraqis. Whether it's just blatant hatred or payback for the power that they had, the repression during the Saddam years, or just power hunger in general. Hey, if we kill our enemies, we'll take what they have. Don't know. But there's that. And the other bad news is that Muqtada al-Sadr, who he was the fiery, they kept calling him, the fiery cleric from Sadr City in Baghdad, he was sort of the, for a while, he was sort of the voice of rebellion and violence among Iraq, in the sort of the insurgents. You had your Ali al-Sistani, who was sort of the cleric, who preached patience and reform and tolerance. Muqtada al-Sadr was more about being militant and getting revenge, and he had his own military force, the Mahdi Army. I think that was was the Mahdi Army. I get confused sometimes, but apparently Muqtada al-Sadr, who was the more militant of the Iraqi clerics, who had his own militia. Apparently, he's not as popular. He's not militant enough, and the members of his militia are starting to splinter off and form their own more aggressive factions. So, how bad is that when in Iraq the militant rebellion guy isn't militant and rebellious enough? So it's, for the Mahdi Army there. Let's see. Six major leaders here no longer subscribe to Mr. Sadr's organization. According to an intelligence official, most describe themselves as Mahdi Army members and get money from Sadr's organization, but are effectively beyond his control. Some of those who moved away from Sadr saw him as too accommodating to the United States. Others saw him as too bound by politics, particularly as killings of Shiite civilians in mixed neighborhoods began to soar. So Muqtada al-Sadr, he controls about 30 seats in the parliament, had an army of about 7,000 people, but now and now I've just found an article here titled, Rumsfeld, we don't know if more terrorists are being created. Could somebody beat the fuck out of this guy? Jesus! He's so full of shit. We don't know if more terrorists are being created. Yeah, and if I go to the hornet's nest and whack it with a baseball bat, those hornets aren't going to get angry. Not going to try to sting me. Oh, let's see. There's no way to measure if more Islamic extremists are being created than killed in the American-led operations. Yes, only 16 U.S. intelligence agencies disagree with you. I'm sorry. I'm very excitable. I'm done yammering and yelling and swearing and crying. At least for today. So I'm going to get into some more music here. This will be a good little mood livener. This here is going to be our pals Motorhead doing... Motorhead has a lot of good songs, but this is the only Motorhead song that matters. This is Ace of Spades. I'll be back in a little bit, but not too much more of the show. Stay tuned.
I don't want to live forever. I don't. moment that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The end of another Lying Media Bastards radio show. That is, there was Living Color doing Cult of Personality, and before that, Motorhead doing Ace of Spades. I'm Jake. Thanks for listening. If you want to hear this show again or catch the old archives or read my politics, go to lyingmediabastards.com for all that. Again, as I ask, please email me and let me know how you listen to the show, in full or just the music or just the talking or some other crazy way. Jake@lyingmediabastards.com. And I should be back next week with more talking about stuff and playing songs, and that's it, really. This show isn't anything too special. It's me and an MP3 player, and I hope that's good enough for you. See you all next week.